Yud Aleph Amid Beis. In the English, it's page 22.
Yeah.
No, on the English side, in the numbers, it's 22. We learned in the Gemara that, well, basically in the Psukim it says in Chumash that a guy kills somebody accidentally, goes to the Ari Miklat, he has to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. That's the bottom line. Now the Mishnah is going to discuss the various laws of the Kohen Gadol's death. For instance, the Mishnah says, what happened, Mishanigma Dine, Meis Kohen Gadol. What happened if the guy was sentenced, and after the sentence was handed down, the Kohen Gadol died, but he didn't have a chance to go to Ari Miklat yet. So is he automatically free, or he has to wait until the new Kohen Gadol dies? So the Mishnah says that Reza ain't a Goyla. He doesn't have to go into Golus because the sentence was sentenced before the Kohen Gadol died. What happens though if before they appoint, before the guy was sentenced, the Kohen Gadol died, and they appointed somebody else instead of him, and then afterwards, after they appointed the second Kohen Gadol, then his sentence was finished. So then is, he goes out when the second Kohen Gadol dies. What happens? Nigmar dine b'lei Kohen Gadol. But what happens if he was sentenced and there was no Kohen Gadol? Because the old Kohen Gadol died, and they didn't give a new one yet. They didn't appoint a new Kohen Gadol. Or, Haheri Kohen Gadol. What happens if you killed a Kohen Gadol by mistake? Or, Kohen Gadol Shaharag. If a Kohen Gadol killed somebody accidentally, and he ate him, Misham La'ilam, he stays there forever. The Mishnah says an interesting thing. What is the deciding factor? What's called Nigmar Dine, when the sentence was handed down. Meaning, when the Bez Din Paskind, he did it accidentally, you have to go to Ari Miklat. If there was a Kohen Gadol alive at that time, and right afterwards the Kohen Gadol died, before he had a chance to go to Ari Miklat, he's out free. Because when he was sentenced, there was a Kohen Gadol. And you stay until the Kohen Gadol dies, so he's out. What happens if he was sentenced, and there was already a new Kohen Gadol? So then he goes out when the second one dies. Okay, which is understood. What happened if there was no Kohen Gadol when he was sentenced? Because let's say he was sentenced on Monday, the first Kohen Gadol died Sunday, and they didn't appoint a new Kohen Gadol until Tuesday. So when he was sentenced on Monday, there was no Kohen Gadol, he stays there forever.
As opposed to
11b2, sir.
After finishing the sentence on Monday.
No.
And then Monday afternoon, they appointed a second Kohen Gadol.
But when was it? Before the sentencing or after the sentencing?
Oh, so if it was after, then he doesn't go at all.
He stays forever.
He stays forever?
Yep.
And if it was no Kohen Gadol?
Did he die?
No, so which case does he not go at all?
If he dies after sentencing.
If he dies after sentencing.
He dies. Oh.
If he was sentenced Sunday morning, and the Kohen Gadol died Sunday afternoon, so the fact that he was sentenced is like he went already to Ari Miklat. So then the Kohen Gadol dies Sunday afternoon, he's out. Okay?
How did they come to this conclusion that there was no Kohen Gadol, he stays forever?
The Gemara is going to talk about it. They learn it out from Psukim. But according to Halacha, it's a very simple concept, basically. The sentencing is what makes you obligated to go to the Ari Miklat. If you're not sentenced yet, you don't have the obligation to go. Now, a person who was in Ari Miklat or had the obligation to go to Ari Miklat and then the Kohen Gadol died, then he goes free. But if there was no Kohen Gadol, there's nothing to free him.
Why can't you say, after all, we're blaming the Kohen Gadol, right? If he had more schools, it wouldn't have happened in his
no.
turn. He died already. It was during his term.
No.
Even though
the Gemara is going to ask it. The Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. Abai is going to make a kavochem. Okay, we'll see in the Gemara. What?
What But he's not guilty until he's sentenced.
Correct.
The Gadol died before he was sentenced.
Correct. What?
So, are the family of the dead person, are they allowed to kill him?
No. No.
So what happened?
Oh, we'll soon see. We'll see in the Gemara about what you're talking. Okay, now the Gemara says, now, next din of the Mishnah is very simple. Once a guy is an Ari Mikla, can he ever leave? What happens if they need him? So the Mishnah says, Eini Yetzel Leilidus Mitzvah, he doesn't go out to testify on a mitzvah. He doesn't go out Leilidus Mammon to testify on money. He doesn't go out Leilidus Nefashis, he doesn't even go out to testify on capital punishment. Afilu Yisrael Tzrichim Leil. Even if everybody needs this guy to save him, to save them. Afilu Sar Tzvaki Yev Ben Tzruya. Even if it's the chief of staff, the chief of the Israel army, yeah, like Yoav, and Yaitim Misham La'ilim never leaves there. That means what happens if he saw the new moon? He's not allowed to go to Yerushalayim to testify that he saw the new moon. If he saw a murder, he cannot go to Ben to testify. He doesn't leave the city. Shenamar, because the Torah says, Asher Nas Shama, he ran there. What does it mean there? Shamtehi teiras dirasi, that's where he has to live. Shamtehi misasi, that's where he has to die. Shamtehi kvirasi, that's where he's buried until the Kohen Gadol dies. And we're going to see more details in the Gemara. If a guy dies, another guy runs a city refuge, and he dies, they bury him in the Ari Miklat. When the Kohen Gadol dies, they take his bones out to the family plot. That's what the Gemara says. Shama there, that's where he lives, that's where he dies, that's where he's buried. Now, when the Kohen Gadol dies, he goes out, right? So if he's alive, he goes out alive. If not, they take his bones out.
What if the family doesn't want to remove him?
Then they could leave him, I guess. Are they mechuyev? I don't know. I don't know if they have to, if they must, that even the Gemara is not clear.
He's dead already. Why can't they bury him outside the Shabbat?
Because the Torah says they learn out from Pesukim. We've seen the Gemara is going to learn. The Gemara is going to learn all these things out from Pesukim.
But isn't it like disrespectful to take someone's body out of the ground?
It is, but if they want, you're allowed to bury somebody in a family grave where the family is buried. Normally, you're not allowed to move a dead body once it's buried. There's a few exceptions. One is to bury them in Eretz Yisrael, and one is to bury them in a family plot. But over here is a different story, because over here, they also bury them on the condition that when the Kohen Gadol dies, they're taking him out. So they bury them to begin with on the condition that it's not a permanent burial. But like when they, God forbid, I mean this comes up in today's world, sometimes they have to move a body for whatever reason it is, the original grave is not allowed to be used by anybody else. You can't bury somebody else in it. That's the halacha. And there's, by the way, it's not so simple. When you move a body, they have to tear kriya again. There's a little bit of shiva for half an hour. I mean, it's not such a simple thing. There's a whole process.
Yeah.
It's not encouraged. But here the Gemara says you're allowed to. Obviously, if they're going to desecrate graves in Russia, when they used to desecrate graves, they used to go in the middle of the night in Poland, and, you know, they used to move graves in the middle of the night.
So they
had to move the Rebbe Rashab
too?
Yeah. Okay, what then it says,
what? What if the Gail Adam is Meichel?
What do you mean Meichel?
It says, I'm not going to kill you, I'm Meichel.
But he could still kill him any time. Well, we'll see in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says it's a mitzvah for him to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a mitzvah,
to kill him whom?
The family, to kill the guy who killed his relative accidentally. And then the Mishnah continues and says, Shame Kiletas, just like the city itself protects the killer. Kach Tchum Kiletas, the Tchum, meaning 2,000 cubits outside of the city, also protect the person. Because we know, like we'll soon see, every city, there was a city, and then there were 2,000 cubits, the Torah says, outside the city. That's like the concept of Tchum Shabbos, you could walk Tchum. So it says, once the Retzeach is in the 2,000 cubits close to the city,
nobody.
He can't kill him. So the Gemara says, just like the city protects him, the surround being part of the city also protects him. Then it says, Rabbi Yisi Aglili Eimer, I'm sorry, I skipped. But if the killer went outside of this tchum of the city, and the killer finds him, it's a mitzvah for him to kill him. Anybody else could if they want. Now, but Rabbi Kiva Eimer, no. The killer, the family, could kill him. He doesn't have a mitzvah to do it. V'chol Adam, but everybody else, chayavim alav are liable if they do kill him. Okay? Meaning, Rabbi Kiva. Now, that means as follows. Once the guy leaves the city, Rabbi Yisrael Lili says, the family guy must kill him as he has a mitzvah to kill him if he sees him. Everybody else is allowed to kill him. Rabbi Kiva says, the family member could, doesn't have to, and nobody else is allowed. What?
What's considered a relative?
Any person that can yarshin. Any person that can inherit. Yerusha. Any family member that can inherit
somebody.
Is called a girl Adam.
So,
meaning it says, it's, to give you an example, it says it clearly. Father, mother, brother, sister, son, and daughter.
That's it.
What do you mean, that's it? What do you expect?
And if they don't exist,
cousins. Huh? In the being now, 1 second. Cousin inherits to his father. It's still not close. It's still not close enough.
If a person doesn't have those immediate families, wouldn't it go to cousins and uncles?
No. He brings down over here, it's interesting, he brings down over here at the bottom, in Insights it's called, that other relatives, even though if there's no closer relatives, they inherit, but they're not directly inheriting. They're inheriting because of their father, because of their brother. It's not a direct inheritance. There's 6 direct relatives that inherit. And in fact, the wife is not considered one of the 6 direct...
Where does the money go to?
No, the money goes to relatives. But I'm saying, if the closest relative is a cousin, the cousin inherits. Right? But the cousin is not a direct person inherit. He inherits because his father was an uncle, a brother, whatever. You know what I mean? It goes that way. Okay. But a wife also is not called a girl Adam because she's not a direct inheritor. A wife, according to Halacha, does not inherit the husband when he dies. No, if there's no kids, the wife doesn't get. The uncle, the brother, it goes as far. There's a whole... in Bava Basri, Yeshnechman has the whole order of Yerusha. The Rambam enumerates it. In other words, a Yerusha goes as follows. If there's father dies, right? So if there's sons, they get. Right? Daughters don't get. No. If there's no sons, daughters get. Right? What happens if there was a son and a daughter? The son had a daughter. Okay, the father died, so there was a son and a daughter. The son had an only child, a daughter. The grandfather dies, she inherits. Why? Because her father inherited his father, and she has the only child, being a daughter, inherits. The sister, her aunt, in other words, gets nothing.
Only when the son...
If there's a son and a daughter, once there's a son, the daughter is out of the picture. Okay? When the son dies, his closest relative would get it. What happens if there's no children? Then the father gets it. If there's no father, the father's brother gets it. So the cousins are not directly getting it from the guy who died. They're getting it because they are the child of the father of the brother who got it. You understand? So they don't have a din of Goyal Adam, of the closest family avenger that can kill the guy, the Ritzeh, who kills somebody accidentally, because they are not direct inheritors.
So the wife cannot kill him?
No.
She
is not an inheritor.
What about the when you get married, you have to
Mother-in-law?
No.
Yeah, she gets it. No, when you're alive, she gets it.
Yes, everything.
Oh, yeah,
the ksuba. She gets, yeah. Now, they have to pay the wife gets the ksuba, but not inheritance.
It's practiced today, the aloha.
Huh?
It's not called
no, it's an obligation that they have to pay. It's not Yerusha. Okay. Okay, now the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? What's the reason that if the Kohen Gadol dies before he's killed, that he the Ritzach doesn't have to go to the Ari Miklat? The Chayit didn't go yet. He just had the sentencing. So why doesn't he have to go to the Ari Miklat? So it says, Amar Abaye, Kal v'chaymer. Umami shegeval l'kvar yotza. What if a guy who was already in Golus, when the Kohen Gadol dies, he goes out? So a guy that didn't go into Golus for sure should go out when the Kohen Gadol dies.
What do you mean Golus? I don't
know. Ari Miklat. He has to run to the city of refuge and he has to stay there. So the Gemara asks, where the Levim lived. So the question is, why is it that if the guy ran to Ari Miklat, there was a sentencing. And he didn't have a chance to go to Ari Miklat yet. The Kohen Gadol died. He doesn't have to go to Ari Miklat. So the Gemara says, why not? So Abaye says a very simple reason. Because if a guy who was already in Golus goes out, so a guy that wasn't in Golus, for sure doesn't have to go. Right? As long as there was a sentencing. Because no sentencing, he's not obligated yet. Yeah, where are they going to live?
They move in there?
Yeah. Yeah, a guy went to Ari Miklat, led a normal life. If he was a yeshiva boy, his rabbi had to go with him. If it was a family member, the family moved there. Unless they didn't like him, they could have stayed separate, you know. But yeah, it was a normal life, except he had to be in the city, that's all.
Yeah, but when you finish going the door,
he's out free.
Relative,
no,
not kill him,
no,
he's already a murderer.
Free,
right?
Free.
That means he's a murderer.
If he kills him, he's a murderer, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What if a Kohen Gadol accidentally kills someone?
That's what you just said in the Mishnah. If a Kohen Gadol kills somebody, he stays there forever. Oh. Why? Because technically he can go out when he dies. Yeah. But until he dies, he has to be there.
You don't replace him?
No. Because if they would replace him, the question is, what did they on Yom Kippur? They have an assistant.
All the korbanos during the year is done by.
Bring me Alter Shchina Chelik Aleph, please. What?
All the korbanos during the year is done by the.
Yeah. The scan Kohen Gadol. There is a din about a Kohen who kills somebody accidentally. Is he still allowed to work as a Kohen? Thank you. In Shulchan Aruch, in the name of Nesias Kapayim, the Alter Rebbe says, here, Kohen Sharag Asanefesh Afilu B'Shoigig. If a Kohen kills somebody accidentally, today, whatever, the Yisus Kapov is not allowed to duchen. Says, if he did tshuva, then you could still have him do it. If he was bothered and he did tshuva. Some people say even if he did tshuva, it's no good. Some people say he could be meikel if he did tshuva. So then that's the minhag to be meikel. But there's
that. Battle.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so now the Gemara says, so Abaye said a very simple reason. if there was a sentencing and the Kohen Gadol was then was appointed already and then he died, so then the guy goes out free. Why? Because my madach, a guy that's there already goes out when the Kohen Gadol dies. The guy that didn't go for sure gets out. So the Gemara says right away he went. No, the Gemara says that's not a good point. The Gemara says an interesting question. Maybe Golis is what forgives you. In fact, this is the simple way of learning. Why does the guy have to run to the Ari Miklat? Ari Miklat is a forgiveness. So the Gemara says, what are you saying, Abaya? If a guy who already was in Ari Miklat goes out, a guy who wasn't there for sure goes out. So the Gemara says just the opposite. The guy that was there already got forgiveness. So maybe that's why he goes out when the Kohen Gadol dies. But maybe if a guy didn't go to Golis yet, he didn't have any kapara. So maybe he does have to go.
Yeah.
So the Gemara answers no. And the Gemara says a very interesting statement. Me the Golis ka mechaper. The Golis doesn't forgive you. Me says Kohen Gadol the mechaper. The death of the Kohen Gadol is forgave you.
In the schools of his death, you are forgiven.
The Gemara says that the death of the Kohen Gadol is actually what forgives you. If you see the bottom Tesis says an interesting thing. The last three words of Tesis on the page is Kein Nira LeMashiach. We had that a few times in Tesis. Mm-hmm. Tesis says, so it appears to Mashiach, whoever that is. Huh?
Why would the death of Kohen Gadol atone for all of these things and let them free? And that would be more logical.
Tesis explains the
state there, you know.
Because let me ask you a question. Why is a very interesting question, why? But one thing we do see in the Torah, sometimes a guy has to be there 20 years until the Kohen Gadol dies. Sometimes if he's there one day and the Kohen Gadol dies, for sure he goes out free, right? Yeah? So what gets him out?
What gets him out is the
death of the Kohen Gadol. Because the guy could be there 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and he still has to be there. Right? And yet another guy's there one day and goes out free. So what does it? So obviously, what do you see from there though? The death of the Kohen Gadol is what gets him out. Why? We learned before in the Mishnah, there was the Kohen Gadol's fault. He should have davened that such things shouldn't happen. So when he dies, that's the forgiveness.
Opposite?
That what?
It's such high revelation when he passes away that it forgives you.
Okay, learn it that way. So learn it that way. But, as Tesis explains, that only is though when the Kohen Gadol died after the sentencing. Because if he wasn't sentenced, the death of the Kohen Gadol has nothing to do with it. In other words, Tesis explains, if he's obligated to go to Ari Miklat, then the death of the Kohen Gadol gets him out of it. Otherwise not. Which is a very interesting thing, because Tesis asked the question of Yelucheda, from the Gemara we said before, you know, Golus is Mechaper, that the Golus is Mechaper. But the Gemara is saying here clearly, it's not the Golus that forgives you. And the proof of it is, you could be there your whole life and you're still not forgiven. It is Golus.
You say Goyle, but it's not Chuslar.
The Gemara says it's Golus, which is worse than death.
It's a relative Golus for him.
No, the Torah calls it Golus.
It's not Chuslar. It's
doesn't. It's not the Pshat Golus. You could be Golus in Eretz Yisrael too. I mean, what's the? For him, it's Golus. No. Golus is when you are forced to be somewhere where you don't want to be. That's Golus. He's forced to live in Nari Miklat. Yeah, but there's no jail term in Yiddishkeit.
There is for a minute, no?
The Rebbe explained The reason why there's no jail term, I was going to tell this to them if they ever called me, but in Torah law, there's no jail. There is jail. I mean, if I read last week, said in Mekesha Shaitim, they didn't know what to do. I mean, the guy cursed Hashem. They didn't know what to do with him. They put him in prison to find out what Hashem said. But to give somebody a punishment of jail term doesn't exist in Torah. Guy commits a crime, you don't say, okay, 10 years in jail and that's punishment. Such a thing doesn't exist in Yiddishkeit. The Rebbe explains, why not? Because a person was created to work, to do things, to be constructive. Put a guy behind bars and make him waste his time, because even what they do there, they're not as constructive as they could be, is against the whole purpose of creation. So the Rebbe explains, sometimes a person in Yiddishkeit, sometimes a person does an aveda that's so severe he has to be killed. Meaning, we don't. Hashem says, "You did such a terrible thing; you can't continue accomplishing anymore. You have to die." Another aveda, you ate chazer, like they'll give you malchus that cleanses you. Now get on with life. To be in jail and waste your time. Besides, the Rebbe said you become a more hardcore criminal, like we know. Because you're with a bunch of gangsters. Yes. But the whole concept of a person which was created to do things, you can't do in jail. In Adi Miklat, that doesn't apply. Because it was a whole city. A person was able to do whatever he wanted to do. He just had to live in a certain city. So there are many people that never left their city. Especially in the olden times. I mean, you know. So it's not that he can't do his job. He could do his job. But the fact that he's restricted where to do his job, that's galus.
If he goes there and he has no money, no job, who's to take care of him? Levine take care of him?
And if a guy has no job out of the Ori Miklat, who takes care of him? I have the same question. If a guy in another normal city didn't have a job, so the city had an obligation to take care of him.
When he was there, he was supposed to leave.
Gosh, so now he's in a situation. He doesn't have a job. So the city had obligations of supporting him.
The synagogue,
they
people give
you
money.
Yeah, not in England.
But if a guy was physically.
Anything, if the question should be, they should be making horseshoes. not license plates. Donkey shoes or horseshoes or.
And this is free.
What?
Could I do business?
Yeah. You live the regular life. Technically, if there was internet, with the guy could run a multi-billion-dollar business in Ori Miklat. I mean, technically, he could. Yeah, he could build a big store over there, whatever. Yeah, regular life, you know. It says v'chai shama, he had to live there, you know. Yeah, the Levim lived there. What do you mean? You know.
But he had to pay rent if he was in the other cities.
No, the guy that had to run to Adi Miklat didn't pay.
If a guy is physically violent, isn't there then a concept to lock
him? We're talking about somebody killed somebody accidentally.
Right, I'm saying as far as jail.
Not as a punishment, right. Not as a sentence.
As a protection to society.
If a guy was wild and they couldn't prove that he did things and he was a menace to society, Beis Din locked him up, not as a punishment of a sentence, to keep him off the streets. The Gemara tells the cases, and Halacha speaks about cases where there were girls that Nebuch were mentally retarded, and the men were having a field day with them. So they locked up the girls, not as a punishment, to protect her. So they locked her up. Yeah. They locked her up that she shouldn't be.
By the way, my grandma come out from the city, a little city, but we named Warren,
yeah,
down to the mountain. First time she took a train and go 15 kilometers to a relative when she was 60 years old.
Okay, you see, she never left the city for 60 years.
Never.
Is it true that the ikatam where you kill somebody who killed deliberately is not as a punishment, but rather so he won't kill more people?
No.
I heard a rumor, I don't know. It's a punishment.
Not to kill those people, lock him up. Tie him up. They wouldn't kill a guy that he shouldn't go killing other people. Because if that was the only reason he killed a murderer, intentional murderer, so what do I have to kill him for? Lock him up and don't let him do anything. Okay, then the Gemara says, we're saying a very interesting concept. What does the kapara is not the golus. What does the kapara is the death of the Kohen Gadol. Yak, take it out of your mouth, please. Then it says, im actually nigma dinai, if the din wasn't finished yet, okay? So meaning, then what's the din? So on. So what's the din? Lepoil. So, minani mili, where do we know that if they appointed a new Kohen Gadol, he leaves when the second Kohen Gadol dies. Amar Rav Kana, because Rav Kana said, Amar Krav Pasek says, it says in the Pasek, V'yashab ha-meisa Kohen Gadol. You have to stay in the city until Kohen Gadol dies. Hashem Moshach Eisi B'Shem Min HaKedosh. That he was anointed with the oil, you know, the anointing oil. So Gemara says, V'chihum Moshchai. If you learn the Pasek literally, it sounds like the murderer anointed the Kohen Gadol. So Gemara said, the murderer anointed the Kohen Gadol? He never anointed the Kohen Gadol. What it means is, Al Zeshin Nimshach B'Yamav, it refers to the Kohen Gadol that was anointed in his days. Meaning, if this Kohen Gadol was anointed before the Gemar Din, before the judgment was sent, this was sentenced, so then he has to stay until that Kohen Gadol dies. So basically, he's a Kohen Gadol in his times.
But if somebody lives in the city for 2 years and he finished, right, the Kohen Gadol, and he don't want to go out, he can live while in the city.
Doesn't have to do anything.
Huh?
Doesn't have to.
No?
Nope.
He need to go out?
Huh?
He is obligated to go out? Maybe he has family here.
He could stay there. He's allowed to stay there.
Yeah?
Nobody's forcing him out. He has to pay rent, though.
Other people besides Levine are allowed to live in that city?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, Levine just... What's that?
The cities the Torah gave them.
So they have their own land.
Right.
And the other six cities, that's a
part. What city gave it?
But the Gemara, one second. The Gemara is going to ask a very simple question now. May have a Leila Meved. The Gemara is asking a very simple... Cold? The Gemara is asking a very simple question. What happened over here in the case of the Gemara is as follows. Just to get the day set. He killed somebody on Sunday. Okay? The Kohen Gadol died Monday. New Kohen Gadol was appointed Monday. And this guy was sentenced Tuesday. So it says he has to wait because Monday the new Kohen Gadol was there. So he has to wait until the new Kohen Gadol dies. Right? So Gemara says, but why are you blaming the Kohen Gadol? Right. He killed him before he was a Kohen Gadol. We learned, how does the Kohen Gadol get into the picture? Because he should have davened that such things shouldn't happen under his leadership. But the Gemara asked, if the guy kills, the Gemara is asking now, if he killed him on Sunday, and the Kohen Gadol became a Kohen Gadol Monday, and he was sentenced on Tuesday, so why is it the Kohen Gadol's fault? How could it be his fault? When he killed him, he wasn't a Kohen Gadol. So Gemara says, "May have a leilam ever. What could the Kohen Gadol have done?" So why, what's the Gemara's question? We learned in our Mishnah that the mothers would bring food, that they shouldn't curse the Kohen Gadol. Why should he be cursed, Nabuch, for all those things? He wasn't even around when the guy did the murder. So the Gemara says, Gemara says, it's still the Kohen Gadol's fault. The guy killed somebody Sunday. The Kohen Gadol became a Kohen Gadol Monday. And Tuesday was the sentencing. Why didn't the Kohen Gadol daven that he should be sentenced good, not bad?
Before he was Kohen Gadol.
Yeah. No, when he was Kohen Gadol. He became Kohen Gadol Monday. Bezdin sentenced him on Tuesday. He should have davened Monday night that the sentencing should be good. And he didn't, so he's to blame.
Should be good. That means not to send
him. Not to have to send him.
Does that mean that his prayer would 100% be accepted? That's what it...
At least he should have tried. As a rule, the Kohen Gadol's prayers were listened. Tzaddikim, when they're... You know, there's a very interesting medrash. You know, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov all had problems. Avram didn't have children for a long time. Yitzchak didn't have children for a long time. Yaakov and Rachel didn't have children for a long time. So the medrash asked, there's such tzaddikim...
They need very
What does God want from them? You know what the Medrash says? A real, so to speak, a doozer answer. The Medrash says, God loves when tzaddikim daven. How do you get a tzaddik to daven? You make his life miserable. You make him problems. So you force him to daven. So Hashem loves it, it's his entertainment. That's what the Medrash says. No, but it's an interesting concept. And but you see here another interesting thing, though. What the Gemara is basically saying: who should the Kohen Gadol be davening for? For a murderer? Granted, he did it accidental. It's not an intentional murder. He did it accidental. But we learned the fact that somebody killed somebody accidentally shows they have a connection to it, right? That's why you have to go to Golos. Who is the Kohen Gadol supposed to daven for? Even a murderer. And he didn't daven, so the Gemara is basically saying he deserves to be cursed by him, by the Ari Miklat guys.
Mm-hmm. Him going to Ari Miklat is not a kapara, it's just safe ground.
Who?
But if somebody...
Well, the Gemara does say Lashin Gadol Mechaperes. But right. So what the Gemara means obviously is the Gemara Kapara. Mm-hmm. The Gemara Kapara is the death of the Kohen Gadol, not the physical Golos. So if the guy was lucky that the Kohen Gadol died before he got there, he was free.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is Kapara, he saved life.
The Gemara, you know, the Gemara is going to say a new thing. The Gemara is going to say a new thing. What happens if they sentenced him? And before he had a chance to go to Ari Miklat, he died. Not to Kohen Gadol. Reuven killed somebody accidentally.
Yeah.
They sentenced him to go to Ari Miklat. He got a heart attack and died.
Yeah.
The next piece of Gemara says, you bring his bones there.
Wow.
That's what Gemara says right now. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Naktin, and we know traditionally, Nigmar Dinay, if the killer sentence was sentenced, El Mace and he died, Merlichin Esatz Mace of Lasham, you take his bones there. Why? Because it says, Lo Shuv Lashav is Ba'aretz, to live in the land, and the Gemara is taking it literally. Ba'aretz means in the ground. Ba'aretz means in the ground. Ad Mace Akoyin Agadl, so he says, Ve'ezi Yeshiva Shi Ba'aretz, what type of dwelling is in the land, literally, in the ground? Harayim is a kvura, says burial. So therefore, according to the halacha, the Abaye says that if somebody dies before, after the sentencing, obviously if he wasn't sentenced and he died, says no, he wasn't sentenced. But if he died after the sentencing, you take him to Ari Miklat, the bones. Then the Gemara says Tana, Meis Kedem Shemeis Kohen Gadol. What happens if he died before the Kohen Gadol and was buried in the city of the refuge, and then he died, then the Kohen Gadol died? Merlichin Atzmeisav al Kibre Avesav. Here, by the way, the implication of the Gemara is you have to take his bones out. If a guy died there and was buried, when the Kohen Gadol dies, you have to take him out. Why? Because it says Yoshev Aritzeach al Eretz Chuzasi, and the Gemara says you have to go back. And what again? What is Yeshiva Sheba Eretz Chuzasi? What land is considered in the Eretz Chuzah? Mm-hmm. Have a Emes Ekfur, it refers to burial. No, but he has to be Eretz Chuzasi in his family's land. Yeah. So then he's yet to take him. So that was Allah. Not that you could, you had to, Taka. You had to take him out and rebury him in the.
That is a mitzvah.
Right. Now, so that's a very interesting Gemara. What happens if a guy was sentenced and then they found out that Kohen Gadol was an illegitimate Kohen Gadol? He was a Ben Gerush or Ben Chalutza. They disqualified the Kohen Gadol from being a Kohen Gadol.
Yeah, but at the time he was Kohen Gadol.
Yeah, but now he's not. Is it retroactively never a Kohen Gadol? or from now on he's not a Kohen Gadol? And this is a very interesting shaila because it could have its relevance in today's halacha too. Let's proceed the Gemara. Nigmar dinei, what happens if Reuven was sentenced to go to Ari Miklat, and then Venasa Kohen ben Grusha ben Chalutza, the Kohen Gadol was then found out that he's not a kosher Kohen Gadol because his mother was a divorcee or whatever. He was not a kosher Kohen. So the din is as follows. Pligaba Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchok Nafcha. Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchok Nafcha are arguing. What's the argument? Chad Amar Mesa Kohuna. Kohuna died. And Chad Amar Batla Kohuna. It was nullified. And here's an interesting concept. Is it retroactively not good? Or is it good from now on? I mean, is it not good from now on? And in fact, the Gemara is going to equate this at the beginning, at least. What happens if a Kohen did a bunch of karbanis, and then you found out he wasn't a kosher Kohen? Do you have to redo all the karbanis that he did? Or can you say, from now on it's no good? But what he did. I'll give you another example. The more practical halacha. What happens if a Kohen was a Kohen and he did Pinyan Abens?
What?
Pinyan Aben. People redeemed the firstborn from the Kohen. Uh-huh. Yeah? He did, let's say, 10 Pinyan Abens. This Kohen was a Kohen, yeah? Then you find out he's not a Kohen. Do they have to redo the Pinyan Abens or not? So if the Kohune is disqualified from now on, what they did in the past was kosher. But if you say retroactively, it's no good. All the way from the beginning, it's no good. So those people never did a pinyan aben.
That's the difference between the guy saying for a mikvah or not, forever or not, whether it's retroactive or not.
Yeah, that's the same question. Now, because what's the case? The case is very simple. Was there a Kohen Gadol at the time of sentencing or not? If it's retroactively was good, and from now on it's no good, so then the guy goes free. Right? But if there was never a Kohen Gadol, we learned in the Mishnah, if you became sentenced when there was no Kohen Gadol,
you stay forever.
So that's very practical. I mean, I don't know how often this case happened, but the other case, opinion of Ben, happens. It happens a lot. In the second base of Mikdash, they were lucky. They got out every year. They got out every year. The Kohen Gadol died every year. So they were lucky. But if you had Yechon and Kohen Gadol was there for 80 years, the Kohen Gadol, man, they were there a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shimon HaTzadik was 40 years. It's a long time.
What
do you do
with the opinion of any issue?
I don't know.
It's like the guy. The guy who was a Jew.
No, that's it. So how do you compare this to this? So the Gemara says, maybe this is another argument of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Why? The time we learned to the Mishnah, if a Kohen was bringing korbanis, and then afterwards you found out he's a ben Gerusha, ben Chalutza, that he's not a kosher Kohen. So do you have to redo the korbanis or not? So Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kol korbanis sheker psulin. Everything you brought in the past is pasul, not kosher. You got to redo it all.
How you can do it?
You have to. That means every person that had to bring a korban has to redo them. Rabbi Yeshua machshir. Rabbi Yeshua says it's kosher. So logically, what's the argument? Again, the same thing. Is it from here onward, or is it from the past?" So it says, Mandi Amar Mesa Lachera, the one that says it's dead from here on, holds like Rabbi Yeshua that says it was kosher in the past. Or Mandi Amar Batla, and the one that says it was nullified, holds like Rabbi Eliezer. So Gemara says, no. Alibi Rabbi Eliezer Kulamali Pligi. Like Rabbi Eliezer, for sure not everybody can hold. Because Rabbi Eliezer says it was pasul. So the guy that says it's kosher from here on, I mean only from here on it's no good, for sure can't hold them. Keep league. One does Rav. What are the names? Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchok Nafcha argue according to Rabbi Yeshua. Meaning, Mandu Amar Meisa, the one that says the Kohen Gadol died now, but until now he was a Kohen Gadol, holds like Rabbi Yeshua. Umam the Amr Batla, but even the opinion that says it was Batla retroactively by Ari Miklat, okay? Meaning, Ad Kan they come at Rabbi Yeshua Hatzim. You know what Rabbi Yeshua said over there by Kabbanis? You have to redo them because it says, Baruch Hashem Chelei. No, I'm sorry. Why does Rabbi Yeshua say by Kabbanis, B'diavad it's kosher? Because it says, Baruch Hashem Chelei, that Hashem should bless his belongings. Ufel Yad of Tirtz, and Hashem should desire the work of his hands. So Chelei could be read even Chalolin. Even the non-kosher coins. Lebel, he did it. Aval hocha, I feel that Rabbi Yeshua made over here, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that it's no good. So the meaning is as follows. The Gemara says, just because they argue by Karbonis, is not the same argument as by Ari Miklat. Meaning, Rabbi Lezer said by Karbonis they're no good. The past, for sure here it's no good. Okay, it's retroactive. But Rabbi Yeshua over there maybe holds that Karbonis were good, retroactively, b'diavad, but by Ari Miklat there, he would agree the guy has to stay there forever because it was never a Kohen Gadol at the time. Why? Because by Kabbanis there's a special pasuk that says if a guy did it, Hashem liked it. That's by Kabbanis. But over here, the question is, was there a Kohen Gadol when he was sentenced? I'll give you an example. Huh?
No.
The din is, what happens if somebody makes a kedushin with a woman, and the condition she has no blemishes? No illness. And let's say the kedushin is done today, and the condition there's no blemishes, no illness. And tomorrow she goes to the doctor and gets healed. It's not a good kedushin. Why? Because the doctor only heals from here onward. Monday you did the kedushin on a condition, but Monday she still had the illness. The doctor can only cure you Tuesday onward. But what happens if a guy says to a woman, on Monday I'm giving you kedushin on the condition that I have no vows, or you have no vows? Neder, a shvur, no promises. And he goes to the chacham to uproot the neder. The gemara says chacham eke neder lemafreya. The chacham uproots the neder retroactively. So when Tuesday he uproots the vows, he goes retroactively. There were no vows. So Monday she had no vows.
Yeah.
So it would work. Sometimes things go retroactively, and sometimes not. Healing is from here on. So Monday she was sick when the kedushin was done on the condition. So even though Tuesday the doctor healed her, but she's only healed from here onward. Vows sometimes goes retroactively. Sometimes. So in the case where the vows are nullified retroactively, the kedushin would be valid.
Filling bar mitzvah for 3 years with those pair, and then they realize they're missing a word.
No,
they're still a kakafta, as opposed to a sefer teira.
Yeah,
everything you read is good.
Right.